always remember that the primary purpose of the prophecies in the Bible is for the benefit of God's children. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know what He will do in the future. Please always do not see prophecy as telling the future. It is not just simply telling you the future. It is the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, revealing to us His plans of what He will do in the future. This is how God has defined His prophecies. It is from a loving Father to His loving children. They are not for unbelievers, because unbelievers rejected His only begotten Son. Why would He tell them what He would do to this earth if they rejected His only begotten Son? It's because we have accepted Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, as our Lord and as our Savior, that our Heavenly Father wants us to know that you cannot put your trust in anything that is on this earth and in anything that is off this earth. Whatever accolades and rewards and medals that you earn because of your life on this earth, please remember one thing. They are all temporal. They will all be destroyed. Every tall building, every high mountain, every ocean, every river, every tree, every leaf on every tree, everything on this earth that you see right now, that you experience, that you and I consider as so precious and so wonderful, God says, I will destroy every single one of them. Do you know why? Not that because the earth is bad. When God created this planet earth, God said it was good. When God created man and put man onto this planet, which He says very good, He says, this is very good. It was perfect. It was excellent. Then why did God have to destroy it? You ever been to many of these third world countries for the first time? They are called third world countries because from the perspective of the first world countries, they are economically very poor. And you'll be surprised to see in many of these third world countries, from the Philippines to Indonesia, to many of the nations in South America and Africa, you will realize that the land that God has blessed them with is very, very fertile, very, very rich. It's beautiful. But why are they so poor? Why are they finding it so hard to make a living out of this nation, this land that God has blessed them with? The people. The people ruins it all. Not only do they ruin all these little pockets of localized, we call third world nations, but the whole world is ruined by people like ourselves, sinners. That is the problem. And because we have messed up God's world, we have stained it and dirtied and covered it with filth, with immorality, with wickedness, with all sorts of terrible sins that you and I are trying to cover up, that you and I are trying to dress using euphemistic terminologies to make them sound good, to make them look good. God is not impressed and God is not mocked by this kind of foolish makeup that we have put onto this earth. We think that our buildings are so beautiful and we pat each other on the back, isn't it? The tallest building, the tallest hotel, how magnificent this is. And if you go to this restaurant on the highest floor of this tallest building, wow, you can see the whole nation, you can see this and see that and so on, right? And so it makes us all so longing to be in this restaurant, to see all these beautiful, wonderful view and vista and visions, and when we get up there. This is the world that we have painted. Chapter 16 of Revelation, God says, I'm going to paint you the world that is going to be a reality that you and I are trying to avoid, that the whole world is trying to drive away and refuse to acknowledge and admit. They think this world is going to go on and on and on as it is, as if it had been like this for millions of years, so they claim. It is not. This chapter is a detailed explanation of what Jesus says in chapter 15, verse 1. Because this chapter begins with a description of the seven angels. Who were these seven angels? They were first mentioned in chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels, the same seven angels mentioned in chapter 16. What do they hold in their hand, each and every one of them? Each and every one of them was given the last plague. Why is it called the last plague? The last and final residual wrath of the fullness of God's anger against the sinners that have dirty and stained this whole world that God had created, which was first good and then very good when God put man onto this earth. But man ruined it all. And so God said, and in them, the seven angels, is filled up the wrath of God. It's as if God's cup is now closing up to the brim. It's as close to the brim as possible. And with these seven angels, when they come, they will top up right to the very full of this cup that is called the wrath of God. And this is the chapter that will describe the nature and the detail of what they will do, and it will come to pass. And please note the distinction between this series of plagues as opposed to the plagues that were mentioned in the time of Moses and Pharaoh. In the time of Moses and Pharaoh, the plagues came and then gone, and then the next plague came and then gone, and so on and so forth. There was no overlap. There was overlap judgment when God sent the seven trumpet judgments. At this point in time, the earth was already devastated to one-third of the ocean, one-third of the freshwater, one-third of the vegetation, and it had not been restored. Please understand this. Now what is left was only the two-thirds of the ocean, two-thirds of everything that the seven trumpet of judgments did not destroy. Do you remember the seven trumpet judgments? It was devastating. It was meant for one purpose, and that was to hope that man would repent of their sins. Do you know something? They did not. Do you know the reaction and response? Let me read to you the reaction and response. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not the works of their hands. What were the works of their hands? That they should not worship devils, but they continued. That they should not worship idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, but they continue, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In verse 20, it described their worship of idols. They are immutable, persistent, continuous worship of the idols. In verse 21 of Revelation 9, it described the fruits of the worship of idols. And therefore, they commit murders. They continue to delve in black magic sorceries. They continue to involve themselves with all sorts of fornication, immoral sexual sins. And then they continue to steal and rob from one another. They didn't bother. And then now God said, enough. This chapter described the final last moments of not only the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, but of this world's existence from the beginning of time, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin, for their own good, and told them, you go out, you replenish and multiply. And within 1,666 years, the whole world became a big mess of sin. God had to start all over again, and this time He washed the world with water and left behind only 8 individuals who stayed in the ark in Noah's time. At the end of the flood, God told them, you now go out again, replenish the earth, and multiply. And now we come to the end. after so many thousands of years from the time of Noah, when Noah first came out of the earth, Noah saw this present earth. The old earth that Noah was born in, that he lived for 600 years, was gone forever, destroyed by the water. And this present earth that he saw for the first time is this earth that we are living in. And now, God says, this chapter describes the last moments. And the moments are called the seven vow judgments. You want to put your hope on this earth? You want to put the hope in the things of this earth? There are people who like to invest now in diamonds, they say, right? Don't buy stocks and shares. Don't buy gold. You know why don't buy gold anymore? Because they say that gold has already reached the peak of its price. That is the highest that they think gold will ever go. You buy them, it will not give you the value that they want because it's not going to go any higher, it's going to go down. So don't buy gold. Now everybody is turning to diamond because diamond is forever, right? Wow, diamond. Diamond, yeah, diamond, you buy. Read Revelation 16 and everything that you think of will boom, come crashing down. Nothing on this earth is forever. Nothing on this earth you can put your trust in because it will betray you, it will destroy you, it will lead you down to hell. Not your education, because your education, what is your education about? You tell me, what is your education about? Please tell, what is your education about? We parents are so caught up in education, right? How many hundreds and thousands of dollars a month to send our children to kindergarten, daycare? And then when they get into primary one, wow, parents will worry and worry. Wow, will my child get into this top primary one school? Where are they going to go? And so you worry and you worry. And then once you get into primary school, wow, thank God I got my primary school. And then tuition after tuition after tuition and tuition after tuition. Right? You know of any shop that can make millions of dollars by just selling assessment books? You know what? It's a very popular bookshop. Do you know it? You know, I'm sure you know. You unimaginable. Selling assessment books can make millions of dollars. What are assessment books? Parents who will buy assessment books, you go to other countries, you tell them, do you buy assessment books for your children? What are you talking about? What is assessment book? They don't know anything about assessment book, right? But in Singapore, every parent, every home, they have assessment book. Is that not true? What do they study? Every subject, every science about this earth. About this earth. God says, I'm going to judge this earth and this earth is going to be found guilty and I'm going to punish this earth. You watch, you look. Just a very quick overview of this whole chapter. You look at the word that comes immediately after the introduction of the angels with their vow judgments. Beginning with verse 2. That is number 1. What was involved? The earth. You see the word earth there? Number 2, verse 3, the sea. Number 4, the rivers, fresh water. You notice this? Number 8, the sun. Right? Verse 8. Number 4, sorry. Verse 8, not number 8. Verse 8, number 4, judgment. Verse 10, fifth judgment. What was involved? The kingdom of the beast, the seat of the beast, the capital city, the throne of the Antichrist. God will now directly punish him. Verse 12, judgment number 6, the great river Euphrates. Verse 17, the air. You see, the sea, the earth, the air, the sun, everything that you and I depend upon this earth for survival, which you and I think is worth a lot of money, our buildings, our land, our house, our this, our that, everything that we own, which we think is worth a lot of money, God says, I'm going to destroy every single thing. Please don't put your faith and trust in them. Please know that if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, literally and figuratively, it means you have everything. Please understand this. Do you know what it means? If you believe in Jesus Christ and you know Him as your Lord and as your Savior, it means you have everything. That means you can lose everything else and you would lose nothing. Because if you have Christ and He is everything to you, that means everything else will mean nothing to you. Is that not true? If Jesus Christ is only 50%, then the other things that you own will be 50%. And if you lose the other 50%, please cry. Because Jesus Christ says, you don't own me 50%, I don't own you 50%. Either you receive me 100% or not at all. You cannot love God and mammon. Christ is not even happy with 99.9%. It's either 100% unconditional surrender to Christ or not at all. This is what it means to be a Christian. Because if this chapter means nothing to you, and you read it and you don't care about it, and you continue to live your present life as if this world is everything to you, and you call yourself a Christian, that means you are telling God, God, I don't believe what you tell me in chapter 16. Do you know what that means? I don't believe you. You know what that means? You're calling God what? A liar. That's exactly what it means. Why do you think God has to punish those who have been given the gospel and you tell them Jesus Christ loved you and He died on the cross for your sins and they say no? Do you know what that means? A lot of implication. Jesus Christ, you've wasted your time. You wasted your blood, you wasted your tears, you wasted your cry. God, you are a terrible God. Why do you want to send your only begotten Son to die for someone like me whom I don't need? I can save myself. Do you know that's what it means? When they turn away Jesus Christ. The implication is disastrous. It is as good as slapping God in the face. Do you realize that? Now what more, when your Heavenly Father loves you enough to tell you, this is what I'm going to do to this earth. These are the final moments of this earth that you have loved so much. God says, stop loving it. Why do you want to love something that you know is going to rot and is going to destroy, be destroyed? How many of you love rubbish? Stinks. Anyone of you want to build your house next to the rubbish pile, rubbish dump? Nobody in their right mind would want to do that. It smells, right? But this is exactly what God wants us to know. This world smells of sin. That's why God had to destroy it. If it is so good, God will not destroy it. The first 7 verses describe for us the just judgment of God. It is devastating. Go your ways, the angels were told, after God reassured us, the song of victories and all that in chapter 15. Pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. It is time. And so the first angel went, and he poured out his vials, where? Upon the earth. Vegetation is not mentioned because every part of the earth will get it this time. And there fell a noisome. Noisome literally means destructive. And grievous. Grievous means painful. The word noisome is destructive. Not only that, it is called willful, deliberate, directed. It is not accidental. That's the word noisome. And grievous means painful. One is willful, the other one is painful. What? Sore. The sore there means ulcers. You ever know what is an ulcer on your little lip? You know how painful that is? When you have ulcer in your throat, you call it sore throat. When you have ulcer in your stomach, you call it ulcer in the stomach. I don't know the technical term. Right? It hurts, it's painful. You want to put something, you cut your hand on the fridge down there and put some balm onto it, you can't. You take this pill, that pill, and so on. Hopefully the pill can cover it, heal it, and so on. But this time round, the ulcers will cover the whole body of men. The whole body is full of ulcers. Imagine that. Which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worship his image. So these people who enjoy their life, worshipping Satan for the past 7 odd years, they had it good. They had a wonderful time pursuing other Christians, hunting them. No more hunting animals, no fun. Hunt Christians, hunt human beings. More challenging. And that's what they did. Hunted many of them, and many of them got caught, and many of them died. Chapter 15 mentioned them, right? They were in heaven, they were resurrected, and they were in heaven. Many of them died. And so now God says, the wrath of God will come, the justice of God, the vengeance of God will now be upon my enemies and the enemies of my people. to let them die instantaneously would be merciful. But God did not let them die instantly. God says, because of the sin that you have committed against my people, you have to suffer. Extreme, excruciating pain. Imagine one ulcer on your lip. It hurts. You can't drink properly. You can't chew properly. You can't swallow properly. You definitely cannot talk properly. Right? Just one ulcer on your lip. True? One ulcer on your tongue, it's worse. Imagine an ulcer on an entire arm. On both arms, both legs, whole body. And the pain and the pain will be over your whole body. You can't bear the pain when it is just an ulcer on the lip or on the tongue. Whole body becomes so uncomfortable, right? Just one little bit of pain. Imagine a whole body covered with ulcer and full of pain. And that's only the beginning. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea this time, and it became as the blood of the dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So every sea creature died this time. And the whole ocean, if you were standing on the moon, you see the whole planet Earth turn red. Because 2/3 of our planet covered with seawater, oceans. And so now the whole thing will now turn into a red bubble, or red marble, no more blue marble. Right? Because of the blood. And imagine, it's going to smell. Blood has an awful smell. You're going to lose your fresh air. You're going to face excruciating pain. And you think any other nation can come to your aid? You think Satan or the Antichrist can come and relieve the pain and to help you? You can forget it. Because when the sea turns to blood, all ships will be gone. They can't travel. You can't travel on blood. It's too thick. It will coagulate. It will smell. It will stink. And there will be sea creatures floating on top. And the whole area will be full of dead sea creatures. And on top of the smell of blood, you have the smell of decaying flesh. That is going to be our world, our earth. And that's only the beginning, isn't it? Look at verse 4, the third. Vow judgments. And this time he'll pour the vow judgments upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. You can forget about food, you can forget about help, you can forget about fresh air, now you can forget about water. Slowly you're going to die of thirst. What do people who have ulcer love best? Salt. Is it salt? No, water. They want to keep it wet, isn't it? Because when it's dry, it hurts. So they drink a lot, they sip, right? Imagine your whole body full of ulcer. You want to use a lot of water to just shower to relieve yourself from the pain. But no more water. All turn to blood. So when you turn on the tap, the red stuff will come out. Blood. Blood. Everywhere. Go to the kitchen, blood. Bathroom, blood. Flush your toilet, blood. You go out, blood. Everywhere, blood. Blood, blood, blood. Do you know why? Because God says in verse 5 to verse 7, and I heard the angel of the waters, that is the third angel, say, thou art righteous, O Lord, just in case. You and I forget. Just in case. When God sees the torment that the earth is getting, that maybe God is over-punishing the earth, over-punishing these sinners, just in case you and I may think that way. Thou art righteous, O Lord, this angel declared and sing out loud, God, you are righteous, you are just in what you are doing to these sinners, which art, which was, and which shall be. You are always righteous. Why? Because thou hast judged thus. Because you have judged this way. In other words, this is what this earth and this earth full of these sinners, they justly deserve. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. So this is the culmination of the wrath of God upon all those who have punished God's people from the time of Adam all the way right up to the final moments. That's what the angel says. They have punished the saints and the prophets. They have killed their blood. And since you love blood so much, you love the blood of my saints, the angel says, thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You want blood? I give you blood. That's the bottom line. You love the blood of my saints, right? My sons, my daughters, right? I will give you blood. You're going to be full of blood, drowned in blood. You want blood? You're getting blood. God is angry. Please understand, if you are a child of God and you are being persecuted for Jesus' sake, don't be angry, don't be bitter, don't murmur, don't be upset, and please don't ever, ever think that your Heavenly Father doesn't care. He cares more than you and I could ever imagine. When you go through difficult times for Jesus' sake, in your workplace, in your school, at home, if your spouse is not a believer and you want to be a good Christian husband and a good Christian wife, if your parents are not believers, you want to be a good Christian son or daughter, and then you face persecution, you don't be angry, you don't be upset, you don't be bitter. You hold on, because to allow all this to creep into your heart means that you have sinned against God. And please don't think that God doesn't know. God knows. God will not let them escape. They will face the wrath of God. And this is what they will receive. This particular final generation, they will represent all the generations of the enemies of God and God's people. And they will now bear the brunt of the wrath of God upon them. So all the rivers of blood that the evil men have shed, that the saints of God had poured, that have covered so many parts of the earth throughout church history, God says, now I'm going to give you blood. You're going to smell blood, you're going to taste blood, you're going to be covered with blood. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments, the just judgment of God. To demonstrate to us, to all of us, to comfort us. When the Bible says, vengeance belongeth unto the Lord, God meant every word of it. And this is what God will do to his enemies and your enemies. So when you are persecuted, you continue to pray for them. You continue to share the gospel with them. You continue to love them even more, that they may realize and understand what it means to be a child of God. Because they need to see Christ in you in the darkest moment of your persecuted life. That is how you will shine the brightest for your Savior, and they will see Christ in you. Why is it that when I am so vicious to them that they love me more? Why is it that when I hurt them they help me more? Why is it that when I rebuke them, they encourage me more? And then when you truly share with them, all because of Jesus Christ, they have just seen Christ by the way that you respond and react. Bear in mind that those who refuse to repent, the just judgment of God will fall upon them. No one will escape. And the second part of it, vile judgments 4-6, reveal to us another kind, another aspect of the judgment. The first three establishes the just, righteous judgment of Christ. The next three talks about the deserving judgments, that this world deserves what they get. Do you know why you watch? You look at verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. So now they're going to experience excruciating heat. It's very hot today, isn't it? I'm perspiring. You're not perspiring? You don't like heat, huh? Don't like heat. You prefer cold? Don't like cold. You see, that's our problem. You see, don't like extreme cold, don't like extreme heat. Just nice, perfect, right? In the middle. Not too hot, not too cold. You see, that's our problem. So God says, I'm going to turn up my sun. not S-O-N, S-U-N, turn up my sun, right? Increase the heat, turn up the power, right? Just like you all have those switch at home, right? You have those dimmer lights, right? Turn up, turn down, turn up, turn down. And so God will now reach out his hand, turn up the sun. Where the switch is, I don't know, but God can turn it up. How? I do not know. Okay, but God says, I will do it. See, and power was given unto him. So he will turn up the heat, and the sun, the beam, and the rays of the sun will now shine onto this earth, and it's going to be more hot than ever before, or hotter than ever before. And men were scorched with great heat, so with the ulcer, with the smell of blood, with the cover of blood, and now they're going to experience excruciating heat. Then what would they do? You look. I mean, you and I would think that they would repent, isn't it? Would they now not repent? To see the whole world turn in this direction? They blasphemed the name of God. They blasphemed God even more, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They still don't want to repent. This is how hard the hearts of men are. Do you remember this rich man and Lazarus? And when they both died, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which was another name for paradise. And then you have this rich man who was now in hell. And he was in great torment. And then he spoke to Father Abraham and asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus back so that if they see him rise from the dead, they will believe and they will become Christians. Because this man, he doesn't want his brothers who were like him, who lived like him, to end up like him in the lake of fire in hell. He didn't want that to happen. And so he became the most fervent and zealous evangelist in hell. And what did Abraham say? If they do not believe the words of God, the words of the prophet, they will not believe even if one rises from the dead. Miracles do not save people. These vile judgments, they are the miracle of miracles, isn't it? What happened to their hearts? Just as hard. Please don't think that these are the hearts of these people. This is a description of your heart and my heart too. You know that, huh? Please don't think that, terrible people. Terrible. If I were me, if I were, God just simply turned the sun up a little bit, I repent already. Well, God just did 1/3 of the water, I repent already. You don't think so. Please, you and I will not. If for the grace and mercies of God to help us believe, you and I will be just like that. Just as hard. This is the definition of total depravity. This is exactly a description of what we are. Past tense, what we are, or we were. Past tense. What we were before we were saved. Hardened, blasphemed. But just imagine that. God turned up the heat, body full of excruciating pain, no food, no water. Now they have to taste the intense heat of the sun, and all they could do was to curse God. Curse God, blame God for all the misery instead of looking at their own sin, looking at the worship of idols and turn from their sin. They blame God and they refuse to repent and give God the glory. That's why it is called deserving judgment, isn't it? Plague number 5, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out the vials upon the seat of the beast, this time right in the heart where the power of the ruler of the whole world for the past 7 years had made his headquarters. God says to the fifth angel, now you pour down the wrath of God directly upon the heart and the capital of this beast and his kingdom. And then there was full of darkness, and then they gnawed their tongues for pain. The darkness was so thick that they were so frightened and it became so painful to them. I did not know that darkness could cause such excruciating pain that they were so painful, so scared that they had to bite their tongue to relieve the pain. You know, there are some people who will do that because, let's say, if your foot hurts so much, you bite your tongue hoping that the body may feel pain in some other part of the body, and when they feel the pain in some other part of the body, this pain that is on your foot may be relieved a little bit. That was how terrible it was. And they gnawed, not just bite, they chew on their own tongue, Terrible, isn't it? When we were students in FEBC, we have Tuesday afternoon that we all look forward to. Because Tuesday afternoon is the time we play badminton, And so we also sometimes play sepak takraw. You know sepak takraw? You kick with the foot and then you use your head with the ball. You know that rattan ball? Of course, smart people don't play that because the bong, your head, all the Hebrew come out. Right? The ball is so hard, you know, you use your head to knock it. I don't know how. So anyway, many of the students there from other countries, they want to try, you know. So there's this friend of ours, Reverend Michael Koech. Don't know some of you whether know him or he's a good ministry up in the mountains in Kenya. So he went to play, and also he wants to play because I stood by the side and watched, you know. I can't kick, I can't knock, and I feel the pain, so I better don't play. This is not badminton. Badminton, I don't mind, but sepak takraw, no. So he also wanted to play, so the ball came over, so he was on this side. So he put his head there. Then the other friend of his, another classmate, instead of using his head, used his foot. He got the ball first on his head. So the guy, the foot missed, kicked his jaw. His tongue was there. It nearly came off. His tongue nearly... He did not talk for, I think, 3-4 weeks. They went, sent him to hospital straight away. His mouth was covered with blood. They stitched it back. I asked him, Michael, is it painful? I think that was not a wise question to ask. One ulcer already so painful. It was swollen. He just had to sip water. He lost weight. That was the only good thing, he lost weight. And another good thing was he could not talk. So we all can just keep on talking. He just, he cannot talk. These people, they gnaw on their tongues, you know. Imagine that. They gnaw on their tongue for pain because the pain that they felt because of the heat of the sun, because of the blood, because of the darkness, they were so excruciating. The pain came from every part of their body. They just could not take it. And they thought that by chewing on their own tongue into bits and pieces and their mouth full of blood, that would ease the pain. And instead, they still don't want to believe in God. They still blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Do you know why God had to directly afflict the leader? Because this leader never stopped challenging God. The next plague reveals that. He never stopped challenging God. Because with every miracle that God did, he also did his false miracles. Because he was energized and supported by Satan. Watch verse 12. And then the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So God dried up this river so that all the armies from the east, probably from China, from India, all could join him at this place called the Valley of Megiddo, because that's where the Battle of Armageddon would be held in verse 16. And so now this leader became so full of pride because now he can have many, many soldiers, thousands upon thousands, maybe even a million of them. And then you watch verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of what? Of the mouth of the dragon, that is the devil, out of the mouth of the beast, the antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. So the beast there is the one mentioned in verse 10. The followers will be all chewing their own tongue because of the excruciating pain, because of this extreme darkness. And then what did they do? For these three false, evil, wicked prophets. They are the spirits of devils, these frogs that came out of their mouth, working miracles to counter the judgments of God, to counter the miracles of God, so that their followers can continue to believe in them and reject God. And that's why God had to punish the leader at the seat of his authority, hoping that the world will stop believing him and turn and repent of their sin. But they will perform counter miracles to neutralize the miracles of God. And the people were caught in between. So you have God performing his miracles through his angels. And then you have these three evil, wicked individuals using the frogs. Frogs is the animal that always symbolize evil and dark forces and spiritual darkness. And then they will also do miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and unto the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So that's why they refuse to believe, because there is this counter voice, this voice that will shout and whisper into their ears. Don't listen. Don't capitulate. Hold on. Stand firm. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You think they're not going to use scriptures? Remember chapter 13? What happened to the Antichrist? He was shot, he was killed, and then raised him from the dead. Remember? These are all the same things that Jesus Christ did. You think they're not going to quote scripture to support what the Antichrist did? Raised from the dead? Fulfillment of scriptures? You think they're not going to quote scriptures telling the people, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Here we will do miracles too. You mean Satan is going to use some other book? He's not going to be so foolish to use some other book. If you use some other book, then it will be so easy to diagnose that he is faking, isn't it? Why do you think the Bible tells us that Satan is like an angel of light? And then the followers and disciples of Satan will also creep into churches and become angels of light too. You know what are angels of light? Angels mean messenger. Light means the light of truth. So they're going to appear as messengers of God's word. And they will always use God's word. This issue of VPP and anti-VPP or non-VPP, whatever they want to call themselves. Both sides quote scriptures, right? Do they not? They also quote scriptures. They also use scriptures. They have not stopped using scriptures, even though they believe the scriptures have mistakes. And who are always the people who are caught in between? The congregation. The people of the earth. So you have the three unholy individuals on one side. You have God and the seven angels on the other side. They continue to devastate the earth. And then these three wicked people continue to do miracles to counter and to neutralize the miracles of God. And they will do their own miracles to challenge. Don't be deceived. Believe us. Are they not saying the same? Throughout the centuries, it has always been the same. That is why those who know the truth, those who are the defenders of the truth, their own salvation, their own faith is not at stake. Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, when they fight and contend for the faith, people like William Tyndale, when they bravely insisted on translating the word of God, they are not worried about their own salvation, their own faith. They are worried about the people. They are worried about the congregation. They are worried about the people who are caught in between. Because on one side you hear this voice, on another side you hear another voice, and then you have to decide which is the right voice, which is the true voice, which is the voice of Christ. Because both of them say, thus say the Lord, thus say the Lord, right? This one quotes scriptures, this one quotes scriptures, this one uses scriptures, this one also uses scriptures. They sound so convincing, right? And if you do not know God's word, sadly, you will be vacillating back to and fro, one moment, this is right, next moment, they are right, And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen to you. You get all thoroughly confused, and you do not know. And because once you are uncertain, he can manipulate you, and he can twist you and turn you around. And that's exactly what they did. Now you know why the judgment of God is so deserving. They saw, they rejected, they rather side the evil one. They rather believe in the false miracles of Satan, the beast, and the false prophets. They will do miracles. These are the last days. Remember, Satan knows that his days are numbered. He wants to have as many people to join him in the lake of fire as possible. That's what he wants. He wants your soul to end up where he is, the lake of fire. He knows he will end up there. He knows he cannot take the Christians who are truly born again and join him there. He knows Christians will go to heaven, and actually, you know something? Satan doesn't mind you going to heaven. He knows that once you are born again, you are forever saved. There's nothing he could do to stop you from entering heaven when you die. He knows, and he doesn't mind because he knows that he's fighting a losing battle when that comes. Do you know what he hates most about Christians? Not that you'll go to heaven. He knows he cannot stop that, right? You know what he hates most? That you lead others to Christ and join him, join yourself in heaven. He doesn't want you to have followers. He doesn't want you to go and tell people. He doesn't want you to share the gospel with your sons and with your daughters to bring them to heaven. He doesn't want you go, but you let your son and your daughter follow me to hell and to the lake of fire. He wants that. He wants your friend, he wants your parents to end up in the lake of fire. You want to go to heaven, you go, but don't take any of them with you. That's what he hates. That's why he will try to retard God's word. That's why he will try his best to stop you from bearing a good witness and testimony. He will either use pain, that is persecution, or he will use luxury, the soft life, that is called seduction. Right? Either way, he will distract you. And once you are distracted, your testimony becomes in shambles. The children see your life. Ah, mom and dad, they are hypocrites. They're only Christians on Sunday. I don't want to be a Christian. The moment I'm old enough, I don't want to go to church anymore. That's what he wants. Are you falling into his trap, parents? Are you falling into his trap by living a carnal life and not a holy life? Yeah, you go to heaven, he will. You go. But don't lead anyone with you. Don't bring anyone with you. Please, don't do that. He will be most happy with you. And you can hear him say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. He will say that to you. Oh, you go to heaven, you just go on your own, okay? But don't bring anyone with you. You look at your children, leave them behind. Look, you better take a good look at them. Leave them behind. I want them, each and every one of them, to end up in the lake of fire with me. That's what he wants. You go home and look at your mom and your dad who are not believers. If you don't want to live a holy life and be obedient and honor your parents, Satan will be very happy with you. You can come to church and worship, you can serve, you can give up all your tithes and offering, but don't let them see you live the life of a Christian. Let them die in their sin and end up in hell, and one day I know they will join me in the lake of fire. That's what he wants. Don't let that happen. Please. He will do his counter miracles so that the whole world will continue to blaspheme God and reject God. So the first three judgments, just judgment. They deserve it. The second three, they deserve judgment. So God is right. They deserve the judgments. And the final one, number seven, is called the final judgment. The final judgment, you look. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches. Remain steadfast. Don't let the voice of the evil one sway you and change you. Please. They sound very persuasive. But once you know the truth, you'll be able to discern the errors and their lies. He that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know what that means, right? Figures of speech. Your garment is your life of holiness. You keep it, you guard it, and you hold on to it. Those who are not married, preparing to be married, you hold on to your sense of integrity and purity. Just because you plan to be married even tomorrow, that does not mean that you can slip together and fall into the sin of fornication. Guard your garments. Keep it. That's what it means. Keep your garments. Lest he walk naked. Lest you are not born again. And then they will see your shame. Because you have deceived yourself. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And there they wait for God, to challenge God and to fight the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has devastated our world, now we are going to challenge him and fight against Jesus Christ for one last final battle. And the seventh angel poured out his vows into the air this time. You see, every part, every quarter of the planet is now covered by the wrath of God. Even the air itself. And there came a great voice of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, this is the millennial temple before it descends from heaven onto the earth. And Christ will rule in this temple for 1,000 years. It is done, finally. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. So great was the earthquake, the whole earth was affected by this, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So this earthquake was so humongous that it devastated the whole planet all at one time. You notice our earthquakes are always localized in one particular spot. But this particular earthquake, the crack will be global. The whole earth will split. You notice this? Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. This great city the capital city, all destroyed. When God remembers the sin, God punishes. When God remembers his children and the good works of his children, they are rewarded. Your choice. God will remember either way. He will not forget. And every island fled away. You know what the mere fled away, right? Disappeared. When earthquake hits the whole earth, the tsunami, the earth, the water is now full of blood. They just simply cover the islands. Island just simply disappeared. Pum, just like that. How much is your house? Huh? This real estate of ours. They are saying the Singapore property going up and up. Wow, you know, must cool them down. That's not millions of dollars. Now HDB flat. Wow, right? So expensive, right? Every island, you tell me, does it include Singapore in the word every? Is it? Does it include Singapore? Huh? Is Singapore an island? Yeah. So, this worth how much? This dollars and cents and value that we give to the things we own, the things that we so-called possess, they're all man-made ones, you know that, huh? If nobody wants anything, it's worthless. You know that it's worthless, you know. It's no value, you know. You can ask the richest family on earth. You know who's the richest family on earth? You don't know who's the richest family on earth? There are two families. It's either Noah or Adam. Right? Noah, let's say, okay, let's say Noah, right? Noah, eight of them, they opened the ark. They came out. How much land do they own? Whole earth, right? Only eight of them. But they can tell. Noah tell them, okay, son, you choose where you want to stay. You see the mountain there? It's all yours. How much is the mountain? Nobody wants it. Who's going to buy this? No other family to challenge you. There's no bidding. All right, just take it. It's free. How much does it want? Nothing. Nothing. Just take. You want to stay near the seashore? Stay. The whole beach, all yours. Miles and miles, all yours. You can swim all you want. You can build sandcastles. It's all yours. Nobody wants. You take it. Right or not? Is that not true? You want to live in a plane and you want to go and run on all these are the size of 100 football field. You can build your house, build a swim, all yours. You can build and stay all you want. Nobody wants it. Why? Because there's nobody. Right or not? So, the properties, the land, it's worth money because there are people who wants to bid for it, who wants to challenge you for it, right? So actually, there's no value in the things that you own. Actually, no value. All you need is one atomic bomb, boom, in Singapore, and the whole island becomes full of radiation. Overnight, everybody's out. So now they start, hey, come on, you can stay any part of Singapore, you can stay. You can go anywhere you like, stay anywhere you like. You want to? Full of radiation. Nobody wants, right? Now you see? Just like that, boom, just like that, the earth, the land becomes worthless. Now God is telling you, please, my children, this earth is worthless. Only Jesus Christ is full of worth. He is and must be to you everything. Every island will be destroyed, every mountain will be destroyed, and there fell upon man a great hail out of heaven, and every stone about the weight of a talent is about 60 pounds, that is about 27 kilograms. You know how heavy is 60 pounds? How many of you is... It weighs about 27 kg. Anybody? Children? 27 kg? No, huh? What's your weight? 13 kg? 15 kg? You see, just take a child, this child, this is the size, this weight of the child. Drop from heaven, you know. A ping pong ball drop from heaven at that high hit on your head, you can get concussion because of the velocity, right? One small little pebble. Imagine a huge 27 kg. You go to the gym, you go and look for 27 kg and you try to lift it up and this thing will drop from heaven and boom. How many people? Great hail out of heaven. Great hail, that means uncountable. Everywhere you go, boom, boom. It's like missiles coming down from heaven, bombarding every part of the earth. And what did man do? Blaspheme God some more. Because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So in other words, they will continue to blaspheme, even though they will be breathing their final breath. You have the just judgment, you have the deserving judgment, and then you will have the final judgment. This is what will happen to our beautiful earth. The only way you and I can escape this is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And if you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ must be to you everything, right? That means you must live for Him. That means everywhere you go, you must be very conscious of the fact that the people around you must see Christ in your life. And the way to see Christ in your life is that you must know your Christ. And the only way that you can know your Christ is to be a good, faithful, diligent student of God's Word. There is no other way. So the starting point is to know God's Word in order to know your Christ. And once you know your Christ, you can have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, you can respond and react to the struggles of this life like Christ. And they will see Christ in you. Whether you are at home, in church, anywhere, everywhere, they will see the same Christian. And that is what the world wants. And that is what Satan hates. And if you love Jesus Christ, you must always do what God wants and what the world needs. They need to see Christ. They are not going to open the Bible. You will have to be the Bible to them. Your life will be the page after page after page that they're going to read and they're going to see. Will they see Christ? Because if they don't, rest assured, if they don't die before this happens, this is exactly what they will get before they are sent to hell. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, put the fear of God in our hearts, O Lord, for we have been given a glimpse of what Thou wilt do in the last few moments of our existence on this earth, this world that we know. Help us, O Lord, to understand the significance and the full impact of what it means to be called children of the living God. That this world cannot be our home. Our home is with Thee in heaven. And while we remain on this earth, we are no longer allowed to live any way we like, but we are to live a life that is in accordance with Holy Scriptures, that others, when they see our good works, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven by becoming Christians themselves. Help us therefore, O Lord, when we are weak, that we may continue to study Thy holy word to be strong, that we may know the mind of Christ when we search the Scriptures in order to live the life like Christ, for them to see Christ in us. Make us forever be good students of Thy truth, and make Tabernacle BP Church a church where the Word of God will be highly defended, exalted, loved, studied, meditated, and obeyed, that Your people will become people of the book, that they will be discerning, knowing what is right and what is wrong and how to live their lives, pleasing and acceptable before Thee and before all men. For this we pray with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.